It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 41. We're going to begin reading with verse 39 and read to the end of the chapter. So please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 41, verse 39, and we'll begin the study. Before we begin, and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, and we're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now Glenn, I'm sure glad that you have joined us today, and I hope that that was enough time. Now let's begin to read Genesis chapter 41, verse 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art, thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, Bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's names Zephnath-Paaneah. And he gave him a wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh, and went throughout all the land of Egypt. In the 7 plenteous years the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the fields which was round about every city laid he up in the same. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. And unto Joseph were born 2 sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name of the second was called Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And the 7 years of plenteous that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of drought began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the drought was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, Go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. For the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the land. Let's begin with prayer after reading God's precious word. Thank you, dear Father, for this time, for this opportunity that you have given us to read your word, to study your word, to know your word, and to know more about you. Help us, dear Lord, to recognize the need to look at each and every verse of Scripture, to hold to it in the proper manner, that it be your truth, that we do not take away to it, take away from it, or add to it. Please, Lord, that you will speak to each one of our hearts, that we will know you as the God, the only true God, that we will know you as our Savior, the only Savior of the world. Please, dear Lord, speak to our hearts today, that we may know the way of salvation through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and that we may not only just know the way, but we will come and be a child of God. Please today speak to our hearts now. Thank you for your wonderful word that you've put before us. And guide and lead us now. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, in reading this beautiful part of the Scripture, and I love the book of Genesis. It gives us so much. It, you know, tells of the creation as the world has tried for so long, forever, to dispute how that it was spoken into existence over the six literal days, and without a question that is true. And the world, as some decide, and the scientists and everything, they want to try to work something out here to where the world is millions and billions of years old. It is not much older than 6,000 years old. And we have the Word of God before us to state that. So we don't have to prove anything. We know our God is true. We know Him. We trust in Him. And not only is it the creation, and God spoke it into existence, but also it gives us the creation of man, and then the fall of man. And then as we look through God's precious Word, we find that it will give us and speak to us and tell us all that has happened and the need that we have. The law came before us in the book of Exodus here, and so we can see how sinful we are. Well, we don't have to see the mirror. As we look into the law, we do see our awfulness, our wickedness. We are so desperately wicked. We need a Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. I hope that you know Jesus Christ today, and I hope that you've come to Him, and this book tells us of Him from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation. And so, as we are looking here, we have many pictures of the Lord Jesus, but as we proceed through God's plan and God's work here, we need to see what it has to tell us. And we have this man that we've been talking about for some time now, this man named Joseph. Joseph has been up and down, and we've talked about that the last several times we have been together. Well, right now we find him before Pharaoh. Pharaoh is not able to have anybody tell him a dream, and so there's a baker and a butler that's kind of involved in this deal, if you remember right. One died, the other was put back into service, and he remembered a promise that he made, and in verse 23 of the 40th chapter, "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." Well, he did remember. And when he remembered, why, then they called Joseph before Pharaoh, because no one else, the wizards, the wise men, no one could tell of this dream. Well, I'm going to read very quickly here of this dream, because it's. I just want you to remember what was said here. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon a bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kind, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and were fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in the land of Egypt, for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning. So I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up in one stalk, full and good. And behold, 7 ears withered thin and blasted with the east wind sprung up after them. The thin ears devoured the 7 good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. God showed him. God will show him. And we need to remember who is showing here. And we have the same thing in the 16th verse. Joseph said unto Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And that's in the 16th verse of chapter 41. And so as we read through that dream again, and we see that there came up out of the river. Isn't it something how it's going to be a drought? And we know that as we continue then with what Joseph has to say. And we know that he tells them again that this is just one act that's going to take place. It's going to take place over 14 years. In that 14 years, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and there's going to be 7 years of lean. And then we find almost immediately upon Joseph giving Pharaoh this explanation that he joins right in and tells him what he should do. Now, that's quite a bold fact for a man that just got out of prison. But you see, God is with him. God gives Joseph great wisdom and great leadership of what to do and what to say. And even though many times he ends up in prison again, it is not, there's a plan, there's a process here. And it's been wonderful watching God work all the way from the time that Joseph had the coat of many colors all the way to in the presence of Pharaoh. And you know, as we're getting here in the presence of Pharaoh and he's telling him what's going to take place in the land, he gives him the means of what to do. And I think we need, and I know that this is just a repeat before, but it's not going to take long to look at it. These years that we're talking about, this famine that's going to come, isn't it something how that when the 7 lean and sickly cattle eat the 7 good cattle, when the 7 little puny ears eat the devour the good ears, the ears are still little and puny. The cattle is still sickly looking and little, to never be seen in Egypt before. And that is the condition before they ate the fat cattle, before they ate the good ears. The result was the same at the end. They were so ugly looking and poorly that they had never seen anything like that in Egypt. That gives us a little example of how great the things in Egypt had been as far as food quality and product with cattle and everything. Remember where Abraham got his cattle? He came down and got them from Egypt. They're known for all this. The land of Egypt is not known, in this area, is not known for much rainfall. Very, very little rainfall. Everything is irrigated down through the Nile. Well, the Nile, with it's so fertile that as this would flood and bring literally fertilizer, the sediment across all the land, it would allow it another year to produce a great crop. Well, again, they got little rainfall. Some said that as little as 1 inch a year is all the rainfall that they got. The land was so plenty because of the Nile River and the irrigation system that they had put into place. Well, they could raise it, cattle, they could raise corn, but we get down to a point where when God says, that's it, this dream, there's 7 good years coming. Then there's 7 years of famine that you've never seen before, so much that you will forget the good years. And so we do that very quickly, don't you? I don't think it takes us seven uh, 7 years of bad weather, of bad crops, to forget the 7 years of good. I think after we could have seven great years of corn and beans in this area, and one bad year, we're pretty quick to forget that good year, I'm afraid. God has a plan here. He is using this man Joseph, his man, to do it. And so everything was put into place. Where we kind of ended was, and that was with Pharaoh needed someone. Let Pharaoh do this, and now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. That is in verse 33. Again, not only did Joseph give him a plan, he also said, we need to set someone, you need to set someone that can do this, can carry this plan out. Well, God knew. I don't know if Joseph knew that he was going to be that man. He probably did. I don't know. But Pharaoh, now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth a part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. 20% of the crop was to be taken up and stored every year of those 20 years, of those 7 years of plenty. And it was to be done in the cities. Each city was to store their own grain. Now, that wasn't something that was easily done. They didn't have to haul all the grain from one location and haul it back. Let's put it where the people are. So they begin to have officers in charge. Joseph said there needs to be a man that will be over all this, and then we need appoint officers below that, and they will oversee all this operation and will begin to store up this grain. And so we find now in the 35th verse of chapter 41, let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land and take up a fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seventh plenteous years. Let them gather, verse 35, all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let him keep food in the cities. And the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. The things was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now, as we get to this place now, is really where we've ended last time we were together. But to bring everything together, to look at the rivers, because this, as the kine, as the cattle came out of the river, as the this corn, it came up out of the river in this picture each time. Well, that river is where all the life was at. That water is where it's going to give them their life, and that's what was going to be cut off because of the drought, worldwide drought, the Scripture tells us. 7 years of plenty to build up. 7 years of famine will follow, so terrible that you'll long forget the seven good years. Well, God knows man. He knows we have a good year. What do we store up? What do we store up? No, we just go out and buy more things. We just have more things. Boy, we've had a good year, and so you get this and you get. We do not store up from year to year and says, well, we haven't had enough good years to store anything up. And that may be true. But here they're going to have seven good years. And as the rich man in the New Testament, you know, he had a good crop so much that he just tore down his old bins and built bigger bins. And then he sat back and said, you know, let's just party. We've got everything we ever need. Well, something happened to that man because his soul was going to be held accountable that day. Well, none of us know the day that we're going to die. None of us know that day. So you better be prepared. You better know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. and I mean personally, ask him into your heart. You've got to do that. I tell you, today we hear so many people talking about they love God, they know God, they know the Lord Jesus. But if you lack that personal relationship, you know no one. You do not know the God who created this world. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of this world, unless you have come to him, turned to him, upon the Holy Spirit convicting your heart and turning. It's not something that you can just do whenever you feel like it. It's something that comes upon the convicting power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have a choice. Turn to him or turn away and keep walking the other direction. You've got a choice to turn. Once you turn to him, then he keeps you eternally. And then you are a child of God. See that you don't miss that. Here we find with this man Joseph, Pharaoh listened to him. Pharaoh listened to him, and he makes a statement here, and it says, "As the can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Only one man. Joseph goes from prison, from being the helper and somewhat of the keeper of prison, even though he was a prisoner, to the highest position in all the land of Egypt, except one, and that's Pharaoh. Look how we have went from Potiphar's, that's where Joseph ended up after he was sold to the first Egyptian. He was the kind of leader of the army and the Secretary of Defense. That would have been his, you know, position, commander of the armies. He was in his household, and Joseph had charge of everything there, remember? He turned everything over to him, except just the only one above him was Potiphar. Well, now we come, and we end up in jail, in prison. Now we're back out of prison, and we have went from a very large house to the whole kingdom, the kingdom of Egypt, the land of Egypt. So here comes Joseph. Pharaoh recognizes that it is the Spirit of God. He doesn't know God, but he recognizes the Spirit of God. It's believed that the Pharaoh at this time was not necessarily an Egyptian. I know that's hard to imagine, but there was, through history they have studied, and they believe that this Pharaoh may have come out of the Arabian desert. And so he would have been a closer relative to Joseph than he would have been to the Egyptians. And it's felt that at the power at this time that they had lifted up into this great position, well, if that is true, he may have favored Joseph slightly because he couldn't find anybody else that liked him, because an Egyptian sure wasn't going to give him any of his great efforts. We don't know that for sure because that's just history. But this Pharaoh did recognize in whom the Spirit of God is, and he also recognized, "For as much as God has showed thee all this." He didn't say, "Joseph, you are such a wise, wise man. Joseph, thank you for showing us all this, and I will reward you with that." He says, "For as much as God hath shown thee all this." God hath. You see, Joseph said in the 16th verse, "It is not in me, God shall give Pharaoh an answer." In verse 25, "God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do." Joseph continued to give God the praise and honor, and I'm afraid that we desperately fail in that today. We find now that he gives him the opportunity, "Thou shalt be over my house. And according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." Verse 40. Verse 41, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. He went from, at one time, probably stocks in prison, when it first started, to a golden chain placed by the highest in the land around his neck as a place of honor. And he gave him a ring. Now that ring is not just any ring. That ring gives Joseph the authority to do anything. It's just as if Pharaoh himself would take that signet ring and stamp onto a declaration, onto a piece of paper, an order, and he'd stamp that. And that would mean that it was by the Pharaoh of Egypt. The king of Egypt has said this. That's the kind of power that Joseph held with that ring. He took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph. He also arrayed him as a king. You'll notice that most Hebrews, most of that land were common to being bearded. Well, we find that one of the things that Joseph does is he shaves. The scripture tells us he cleans himself all up and begins this new job. Now, as we look at this, we believe him to be about 30 years old at this time. And so we find Joseph being about 30 years old. He had been in the service in Egypt now about 13 years. He was in prison about 3 years. That gives us about 10 years with Potiphar. And remember, that's the commander of the armies. That's who bought Joseph when he first came to Egypt. So for about 10 years, he was in service to him. Then he went into the prison. It's believed he was in jail, in prison, about a year before the baker and the butler got there. No, before the baker and the butler was one put to death, one released. And then it was 2 years after that. 2 years had passed. It came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed in the beginning of verse 41. So that kind of brings you up on the approximately 30 years that Joseph now has been in the land of Egypt and what he's been doing. We find him to take his highest position right now. God has sure led him into place, and he has went from his coat of many colors ripped off of him, dipped in animal's blood, and returned to his father as if Joseph is dead, to standing in front of Pharaoh with Pharaoh's ring on his finger, with his gold chain around his neck, and he placed a clothing of the finest linen in all the world upon him. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And he cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. There was only one that would take the position to bow before, and that was Pharaoh himself. Pharaoh was so led that he gave Joseph that same authority and that same power, that man was to bow before him. Can you imagine the Egyptians bowing before a Hebrew? Can you believe that? That's God's work, God's hand in place, isn't it? It is wonderful to watch the Lord at work. And upon this time then, Pharaoh said he gave Joseph a new name, Zephneth Paaneah. Now I prefer Joseph. Zephneth Paaneah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, and he was a priest or the prince of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old in verse 46. Now, very quickly, we're out of time, as always. We just keep gaining this just a little bit. We know that this Zephneth, the new name, Zephneth Paaneah, is a Coptic name, they said. The revealer of secret things. Now we know why Pharaoh gave him such a name. And we will begin this next time as we have an opportunity to come together. Now, I want you to know without a question the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. This man, Joseph, has many pictures again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus started his ministry when he was 30 years old. Joseph here is just starting a new responsibility at 30 years old. It's just there's so many little beautiful pictures. The important thing is, my dear friend, that you know Jesus as your Savior. Please invite him in today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?